Well, he was pick 105 in the 1988 draft, and he was the best player in that draft. You look at the draft and the list of players that were drafted that year. Chris Grant was the number one player in that draft. 341 games in the end, 554 goals, two-time BNF, an absolute star with the Dogs, and he's been good enough to give us some of his time. Welcome to you, Granny. Great to have you on.
G'day, boys. Thanks for having me along. Moons, I will admit, those 90s were packed full of coaches' sprays, let me tell you. But the saving grace for us Bulldog players at the time was we thought we had it bad until we heard about Pagan's lashings. So we reckon we had it pretty good compared to you, Moons.
Oh, I tell you now, I saw a lot of very talented players, Chris, who could have had 200-game careers, have two-game careers.
That's sad, really.
They were ruthless. Hey, Granny, how you been handling the isolation? What have you been up to, you and the family?
Yeah, well, like everybody, Moons, it's a pretty surreal time, isn't it? You know, we're just holding up fort and trying to spend some quality time together. It's a small house when you put five people into it constantly. And I think we've been blessed enough that as far as the weather's concerned, we can get out and go for a walk each day. But no, look, it's difficult times for everybody, isn't it?
And Granny, from a work capacity, just while we're touching on this particular part of your life, how much can you do? What's your responsibility to still stay in contact with particular people?
Yeah, well, look, it's a difficult time for all clubs at the moment. We're obviously dealing with the significant effects on the club financially, and whether you're working for the AFL or a club or in the industry in some way, shape or form, there's, you know, a majority of our workforce have been put on stand down. So, look, it's an incredibly difficult time. We have got a skeleton group across the club to continue to be able to operate the club during this temporary halt period. And we're all crossing our fingers, mate, to be honest, that it's a shorter period rather than longer. The longer it goes on, it's more difficult, obviously.
Granny, one of the reasons we really wanted to get you on, because on this day in 1990, a young Chris Grant made his debut against St Kilda Football Club.
True. Nice.
And you've snagged a couple in your first game, didn't you?
Yeah, got a couple. Missed a couple too. So, it's hard to believe, mate, that it's, 30 plus years ago. And it was only when someone let me know that it was being discussed this morning that it was that long ago. And as I've said quite a few times, I grew up in Daleside, which was strongly aligned to the Ballarat football region. And before the draft came in, it was the St Kilda recruiting zone. So a lot of my heroes that I grew up watching were players like Spud Frawley and Tony Lockett. And in that first game, there was a couple of things that really stood out for me. One, it was the first game after the failed merger for the club with Fitzroy. So round one of 1990 had enormous significance for the footy club. And I lined up against Spud Frawley, which was one of my childhood heroes. And he was fantastic, Spud. He was unbelievably supportive. And when I first walked up to him in the goal square, instead of giving me the bump and the elbow that I got later on in my career, he was great, Granny. It's fantastic you get in this game, and great to have someone from the local area. Go get him, kid. And it was just enormous. Of course, at the other end, one of my other childhood heroes was Tony Lockett, and he proceeded to kick 10 goals on the day. So we got beaten by 60 points.
Well, that is one good thing about Saints. We're always here to help. We bring others.
Please tell me Spud gave you one in the back of the head at some stage.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm talking about just the first 30 seconds, right? They came, but they always came with a smile and a laughter after it.
What is your memories of that game and maybe the expectation of you playing your first game against the opposition?
Look, it was surreal. And we've all had that experience, haven't we? When we've run out with our club for the first game of our career. I think that the thing that really stood out for me, and I can still remember, you guys might be the same. I can remember at the Western Oval that it was called then, our race led straight into our warm-up area. So all of the sounds and the smells, the pies and the cheering, but also the Hyde Street Band. You guys might remember the Hyde Street Band that used to play before the game. They were down the end of the race. and all those sounds were reverberating up the race into the warm-up area. So I was absolutely shaking in my boots by the time I got to walk down the race. But as I said before, the most significant thing about that game was not only was clearly I remember it from my first game, but it was that first game after the failed merger, and they were hanging off the rafters. It was just unbelievable how many people actually attended that game. And whilst we got beaten, in some ways it was still a real celebration for the club.
Granny, do you remember one Dwayne Russell...
Oh, come on, don't go down that track.
...belting you, belting a young Chris Grant, and
he was
then
a
you,
kid.
And then you had to go to the tribunal to try and get him off, and didn't get him off, I don't believe.
No, I did my best to get an extra week.
What happened there, Pipe?
I got a couple. I was trying to punch the ball away. He was a kid and he looked really, really good. And I was playing fullback at that stage, so it's been a year of fullback. Granny, you were a star as a kid. Pick 105 in the draft, though. And I looked at the draft again, knowing we had you on. The only guys who had really superstar careers in that draft, it was probably seven or eight of them, but guys like Anthony Stevens, Michael Long, Derek Kickett. But at pick 105, you were the best of them. Were you worried? Did you think no one wanted you? How did you feel back then?
You could say by the time it clicked over to the 100th pick, it was every chance it wasn't going to get picked up. So, being pick 105, I was just lucky and happy to be drafted, to be honest. We did have in that year, Liam Cameron was our first pick for the club in that year. He certainly went on and had a pretty stellar career. I think the whole system was different back then too, though, wasn't it? Because, the clubs were set up with obviously an AFL seniors team, and then enough on your list to also have a reserves team. So there's 50 to 60 players on the list. But we also had under 19s as a team. So a lot of the young kids, and I was only one of those, I was drafted when I was 15. Leon Cameron was the same. But the expectation was that you'd play the majority of the first couple of years coming through the thirds or the under 19s and then coming through the reserves and then hopefully getting some senior footy. So I did stay home, but that draft year that I was drafted was 1988. I stayed at home to complete some school in 1989 and then didn't come down until the end of that year. So I was 16 turning 17 by the time I arrived at the club. The whole system's changed as far as recruiting now. Not many players, good players, slip through to the 100 plus. There's still the odd rookie here and there, isn't there, that makes it a pretty good career of it.
And good luck to your daughter as well. She's not far away. She was a bit unlucky this season.
Yeah, she was, Dwayne. She, unfortunately, the week after the draft, got diagnosed with glandular fever. So that knocked her whole pre-season out. And then she sprained her Liz Frank injury on the eve of round one. So she didn't play any footy this year. The girls' football and the women's football can get up and running at some time later in the year as well.
Great to have you, Granny. Always a pleasure to pick your brain. Thanks for your time.